Good morning to each of you, and welcome to the Bible study at 9:30, and a special welcome to the students of Faithway Baptist Bible College. I've had some ties to Faithway over the years. I've had two of our children have attended Faithway, and it's lovely to see these gentlemen from the Philippines. God bless you folks from the Philippines. Maraming salamat. To a gentleman, right? And my Tagalog is a little rusty, but I've spent two months in the Philippines preaching and had opportunity to ride on the Cebu airplanes, which is quite an experience in itself, but it was great to be there and to see the land where these good people have come from. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn to Psalm 40. We'll carry on with our study there. Welcome to Pastor Wall. It's good to have you with us, sir. And Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And we'll stop there. Father, thank you for the word of God. We pray, O Lord, that you might meet our needs this morning and speak to our hearts as we look into your word, that you would look into us, that you would teach us with the word of God, and bless each one. And some have driven a long ways to be here, and all of us have come with the wounds from this week and disappointments and joys and answered prayers and blessings. With all so many things, we come to you this morning, Lord, and ask that you might work in us, that your hand might be upon this time, that we might recognize the work of the Spirit of God. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 4, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, that puts his confidence in the Lord and leaves it there. That's how we all want to be. We want him to be our refuge and a place where we are safe always with him, and that we walk with him and are close to him. And he does not respect the proud. Proud, having the idea here of being defiant. Someone shaking their fist at God almost. That sort of attitude. Having respect to here is the word, has the idea of looking towards, looking to trust in someone, looking to be benefited by someone. Blessed is the man that has his confidence in God. He's not looking towards someone in this world for confidence and help, particularly not a proud, lost person, nor as such as turn aside to lies. It's interesting how in the Bible, idols are often called a false thing or a lie, and doesn't turn aside to away from the Lord in any way, or to fall away from him. Then he says, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works. Many. Many are thy wonderful works. Thy wonderful works are works which only God can do. That's what the word is telling us here. Many, and you look back in your life, and some of us can look back further than others, but you look back and you see that many times the Lord has done things for you that you never could have done for yourself. Even miracles, the great works of God, as you look back in your life and you see how God has cared for you, Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. They are abounding. There are so many. And thy thoughts, so many are the thoughts which are to usward. The thoughts of God thinking about you as a child of God, as a saved soul. The Lord thinking. How many over the years have the thoughts of God been? Well, it tells us a little bit how many here. It says, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. They can't be added up and they can't be laid out in order. To say, well, early when I was just saved, here were some thoughts of God. And then later on, when I had a family and there was children sick and there was trouble paying bills, here were the thoughts of God towards me in that time. And then when I was tempted with sin and struggling with that, all the thoughts of God, he says they can't be. And that there's so many thoughts that God has had toward us that you couldn't possibly put them in order. Perhaps in all of eternity we will consider the kindnesses of God and his thoughts to us. And if I would declare and speak of them, they're more than can be numbered. They're more than you could possibly count. The thoughts of God that are directed towards you and I. Now, turn over to Isaiah 55, if you would, please. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. The Lord says we better back up one, verse 7 and 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. A warning to the saved and the lost. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. The great pardon of God. Not a little, but abundantly he pardons. And then to explain that, verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. In other words, your thoughts about how things should be done, those aren't God's thoughts. I bet you've noticed that already in life. That the way that you think things should be done is not the way that God thinks should be done. Neither are your ways my ways. And so the path that you would take, and the reason even that you would take that path, are not necessarily the ways of God, he says. His ways are different. In verse 9, he'll explain that. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth. Now, sometimes when you think heavens, you think sky. They say the sky is 100 kilometers above the earth, or 62 miles up is the barrier between our atmosphere and what we call outer space. But the word here, the heavens, can be a reference to the abode of the stars, where the stars are. Well, how big is the area where the stars are? Well, we've got the Hubble telescope up there now, looking out. And they're telling us how many billions of light years, you know, not miles or kilometers, but billions of light years. How long it takes, I believe, for light to travel in a year, and how far it travels. But in so far away, the farthest star that they could possibly see, and they estimate how far away that is. It's so far. But yet, if you were at that star, I believe you could look out that much further. So great is the vast expanse of space. I believe that is what's being compared here. To how much higher God's thoughts are than man's thoughts. Even us as children of God. and how much higher his ways are than our ways. It is like saying his ways are infinitely better ways of doing things than we would do. And his thoughts are so greater. They're so greater thoughts than our thoughts are. So much higher. As almost, as we would say, the infinite size of space, although the only thing that really is infinite is God. And so space must have an end to it at some point. But from our perspective, it's so huge. So far above you are the thoughts of God versus how we think. And this is in light and context to his abundant pardon, to God's great forgiveness. We all find it difficult to forgive others. One of the greatest mistakes that we as the children of the Lord ever make in life is to harbor a spirit unforgiving towards others. Because we're told if you don't forgive, then the Lord will not forgive you. But it is hard for us somehow, and rarely do we do it well, forgive. Our Lord said you must forgive others from your heart. And we tend to harbor evil thoughts and we're slow to pardon. We may even have an inner hatred going. So opposite of the Lord, so opposite of his thoughts towards a sinner. He has no desire for revenge. He forgives freely. As a matter of fact, he delights in forgiveness. And he gives it eagerly. He gives it completely. We give it reluctantly. We give it a little bit here, a little bit there. We might forgive once. Peter thought he was doing well when he said to the master, "How often do I have to forgive my brother? Until seven times?" And of course, our Lord said, "Well, not until seven times, but until 70 times seven." Till you have forgotten how many times you have forgiven, just keep forgiving. That's how our Lord is. We are so unwilling to forgive someone for doing the same thing the second time, or even the third time, doing the same thing to us. How can you forgive someone like that? Well, then there's the Lord. How many times has you forgiven you for the same sin over and over and over and over again? He has forgiven us for even the very same thing. No matter how many times we rebel or disobey, every time we repent and ask him to forgive, he forgives us. He multiplies forgiveness. He does so for every one of us. His thoughts are not our thoughts. They certainly are not our thoughts. They should be our thoughts, but they're not. And his ways are not our ways. Just like space, there is so much of God's forgiveness. You cannot exhaust his forgiveness. We cannot imagine how God can forgive others except as we look at how God has forgiven us. And we need to look at our sins. We need to look at our past. We need to get a view of how God has forgiven us, and then you can see how God can forgive anyone, and even as we look at where we might have been. If there are many offenders, we might forgive a few people that hurt us, but we might have problem if it's a lot of people. We might feel like the world is against us, but the world was against the Lord Jesus. And even on the cross, praying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They have no idea of the plan of God and what their part really was. His thoughts are high thoughts, seen in the plan of salvation. that God would forgive us who are sinners so exceedingly. The Bible describing the people during the time of Noah's flood, that every imagination of their heart was only evil continually, the Bible says. Just a continual thought of evil. But that is the heart of every lost soul. Just evil continually. And God has forgiven us and sent his only Son made of a woman, made under the law to redeem us and to save us from our sins. And he let him go and suffer and pay the price of our sins, even the death of the cross, the Bible says, where he died for us and rose again the third day in victory. No one is saved by keeping the law, and none, zero, have been saved by good works. But all who come to the Lord Jesus are forgiven of every single sin. We are given eternal life forever, never to have your sins mentioned against you or remembered again, such as the thoughts of God. And in his great thoughts, the Bible says here in Psalm 40 and verse 5, many are abounding as the thoughts, abounding are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. We should take time to think of them and thy thoughts which are to usward. Thoughts directed to you and to me, the thoughts of God. You can't put them in order. Someone in a song wrote, I was in his mind when Calvary's hill he climbed because he loved me. I was in his mind. Man can only think of one thing or one person at a time, but that's not the case with God. Of course, our Savior is the God-man. And I believe he thought, his thoughts even as he went to the cross were thoughts toward you and toward me, thinking of us and thinking of how we might trust him and be saved. He thought of us all at the same time. You say, well, that's not possible. Yeah, not for man. He thought of us in detail. He thought of our lives. He planned our salvation. That's his ways. His thoughts here have the idea of plans and purposes. His thoughts to usward. I was in his mind and you were too. Always beware of bringing God down to our level and thinking small thoughts about God. He was able to think of us all. We like to understand things, but when it comes to God, we need to simply say, well, it's not just that I must understand, I must believe. I must trust. I must rely on him. I must believe God. Precious thoughts of you and me being saved. The Bible speaks of the Savior who, for the joy that was set before him, Hebrews says, endured the cross, despising the shame. Though he despised the shame of suffering, probably naked on the cross, as a criminal and amongst criminals, and then all of the shame of our sins, who in his own body bore our sins on the cross, our Savior suffering. Yet he endured the cross, the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him. What joy? The joy of looking forward in time to see you and me trust Christ as our Savior. The joy that there is in heaven over one sinner that repenteth is the joy of the Lord Jesus and the Heavenly Father. Well, wonderful thoughts the Lord had about us on the cross, how he would reach each one of us and how he could see where we would be, how the Lord loved us. Turn to Mark chapter 14 in your Bible, if you would, please. Mark 14 and verse 26, and when they had sung a hymn, what a privilege it must have been to hear the Lord Jesus sing in those last few moments where there was nothing of suffering yet. And the joy of being with the disciples in that happy moment as they sat there in the Last Supper. And Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I'll smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. All ye shall be offended. They would be offended at the things that would happen. But after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said to him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. If everybody else If all of these other disciples sitting around here, you must wonder if there wasn't some pride in that statement. Everybody else, if they all are offended and walk away, I won't walk away. And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto you, this day, even in this night, not very long after you have done speaking these words, in this very night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice or three times. A rooster was crowing. And so how did Peter respond to that? Well, the same way all of us who have had pride respond. But he spake the more vehemently. He got wound up. He got passionate about what he was saying. He said, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. By no means, never, he says. That's what he's saying. And then watch this last line. Likewise also said they all. They all joined in and they all said, Oh, we'll die with you. If it comes to that, we'll not leave you. And then down to verse 37. In the garden, our Lord has been praying, and he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and he saith, and here in Mark, it specifically says he addressed Peter. He said, Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? 1 hour the Lord had been praying that first time of those three times in prayer. He had been 1 hour in prayer. He said, but he comes to him and say, couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? Couldn't you pray for me in this time of his great sorrows in the garden? When he said, I am sorrowful even unto death. He said, couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? And Peter, who is going to die with him, for him, couldn't even pray an hour. And an angel appeared unto there, strengthening him as he prayed in the garden, but the disciples weren't much help, if any. And couldn't stay awake and pray with the Lord and for him. What? Could you not pray 1 hour? Well, certainly the Lord must have said to us, what? Couldn't you read your Bible every day? What? Couldn't you be faithful to church? And the Lord has thought about us. He's thought about us in our Christian life, and he's thought about us in the struggles we've had, and he's thought about us in the sorrows that we've gone through. And here we have God's holy word. How much time do we give the word of God? Personal time in the scriptures and with the Lord. It's the only thing of eternity that we have other than your own soul is the word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, Jesus said, but my word shall not pass away. Could we not resist evil? What did he think of these three, Peter, James, and John there, who he took with him into the innermost part of the garden to be a support and a help? What did he think of them as they were there? And as I pointed out other times, it seems like everywhere man has failed the Lord, but he has never failed you or me. But what did he think of them? Do you think, how terrible they were because they were overcome with sorrow, the Bible says, and therefore sleeping? But I think he thought of things of mercy. The great thoughts of God to us were, the Bible talks of in Psalm 40. That he thought of how weak they were, how easily distracted they were. He planned to help them. He planned to encourage them. He planned to rescue them from where they were going, because they would all deny him. And it would be a difficult time coming for the disciples as well as for him. And who is he thinking of? He's thinking of them, I believe. Matthew 26, if you would, in the Bible. Here to a companion passage, parallel passage, Matthew 26. And verse 49. Let's go to 26 and 49. And so Judas comes in verse 49, forthwith came to Jesus in the garden and saith, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Interesting, as they were going to go out to the garden, they checked to see what weapons they had, and the disciples said, Well, there's two swords here, and that was enough. And then they go out, and I believe it is in John's gospel that mentions it's Peter who takes the sword. One of the disciples, though probably one of the other ones that have the other sword, says, Lord, shall we smite? You know, he's holding up the sword. Shall we smite them? As they're coming to arrest the Lord, Peter doesn't wait for the answer. He takes the sword. He's a fisherman, not a soldier. And he swipes the servant of the high priest, Malchus, and all he does is lop his ear off the side of his head. Chops his ear off, and the Lord tells him to put up thy sword, he says, because all they that take the sword are going to perish with the sword. Picked up the ear of Malchus and probably dusted it off the dirt and put it back on the side of his head. Healed him right there in the garden. The Lord always thinking of us. And thinking of Peter. And watch what he says to Peter. And then in verse 53, Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Did you think I was defenseless out here, Peter? Do you think, you know, just because there's a huge throng of people here, a large crowd, and that we seem outnumbered, that we are outnumbered? We're not outnumbered. He said, I could pray to my Father, and he would instantly give me more than 81,912 angels. Going by what the legion of angels was back in the time of Augustus. But he says, I'm not defenseless. You can put your sword away. There's many more powerful than you. It's just standing on the outside of, just beyond what you can see. And they're right here. And I can pray my Father and they would instantly be here to defend me. But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be? And then the end of verse 56 says, Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. They all left just as he said they would. And, you know, Peter was trying to keep his word. He was trying to stand up for the Savior with the sword. And that wasn't the Lord's plan. How many times have we failed the Lord in a similar way? We were trying to do his work, but our ways weren't his ways. Peter figured since they brought swords with them, that's the problem to use them. That's how we think, but apparently not. our Lord stops Peter at just that one chop of Malchus's ear. How many times have we as children of the Lord have been trying to do God's work, but we were headed in the wrong direction? We thought we were going the right way, but our trouble was our thoughts weren't his thoughts. We tried to do God's work in the power of the flesh. We thought organization, or we thought skill or degrees, a PhD or something like that is the way to do God's work, and we just don't have a clue. But the Lord said, Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. The Lord God Almighty has told us how to do his work, but many times the Lord must have thought about us as we were, you know, there we were, trying to do the right thing, but still failing to do the right thing. And his thoughts that have been to us word, they cannot be reckoned up. As God thought about us, as he has pitied us, because we are so shallow, because we are so weak, because we fail so often, because we have suffering in our lives and sorrows come into our lives. And and his thoughts to you and I, what he is thinking. They all failed him. Peter tried again, came back and stood around a fire of the servants. As our Lord was on trial, if we had time, we would look at Luke 22:59-63. And in that passage, it says that they were beating our Lord. They smote him with their fists. And in the middle of all that, Peter was denying the Lord, but he was at the enemy's fire, and then he was using the enemy's language. Because the Bible says he began to curse and to swear and to say, "I know him not." And the third time, the cock crew again. And he remembered the word of our Lord. And the Bible says in Luke 22 that Jesus turned himself and looked at Peter while he was being hit in the face. While that terrible trial was going on, he was being mocked, the Bible says in that passage. Our Lord was facing his accusers and facing those who were beating him. But the Bible says at that moment that the cock was crowing, somewhere out there where Jesus could see Peter was standing around that fire. He turned himself towards Peter and looked at Peter. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. And did not the Lord think of Peter as he wept bitterly? Because his and all of the other disciples' failure was so great. He looked at him. Why is it that we go on all through our Christian lives, though we have been hurt, and though we've been broken, and though we've been injured, why do we go on and serve the Lord? I think I know one of the reasons. Because I can't take another look like that from the Lord. Another look of disappointment. A look of sadness because of what I have done. And you too. The look of the Savior as he looked on him. And the thoughts of the Lord. And none stayed with him, none died with him, although they all said they would. They failed the Lord. Turn your Bible, please, to the book of Ruth. First chapter, thereafter Judges, the book of Ruth. I haven't found it yet, but I think it's there. And Ruth, of course, though the book is named after, it's really about Naomi. The Bible says in the first verse, a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons, because there was a famine in the land. And his name was Elimelech, and his wife's name, Naomi, and his sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And then verse 3 tells us that Naomi's husband dies there in the land of Moab. And her sons took wives, Orpah and the other Ruth. And then her sons died and left those wives widows. And so she turned to them and encouraged them to stay there. She's like, "I'm going home, but you might as well stay here." And so she had heard in the country, verse 6 of Moab, how that the Lord had visited people and giving them bread. And so she's going back home. But Ruth would not leave her. In this passage, she says this. And she returns home with Ruth. In verse 21, she says this. Oh, verse 20. And she said to them, call me not Naomi, which means pleasant. Don't call me that. My delight. Don't call me my delight, he says. She says to the people that meet her as she returns home to Israel. That's what her name meant, my delight. But call me Mara. The word Mara means bitter. Call me bitter. Watch what she says. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. That's how the Lord has treated me. I went out full. I went out with a husband. I went out with children. And the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord had testified against me and the Almighty had afflicted me? She went out. And when she went out, her life fell apart. And her husband died, and her sons died. And she didn't know why. You cannot figure God out. All you can do is trust Him. His ways are so high above your ways, you are not going to understand God, nor can you bring Him down to your level. So much higher are the ways of God and His thoughts than your thoughts. But what about His thoughts to usward that the Bible speaks of in Psalm 40? His thoughts to usward. Did the Lord not care about Naomi? Certainly He loved her. You say, well, why did this happen? Well, God knows why. And I found out in life that many times the only thing you can say is, God is wise and God is loving and God loves me. And if it doesn't appear as though He does, then the way I'm looking at things is wrong, because God loves you and God cares about you, holds out His hand, thinks about you, makes plans to help you, to encourage you, sees you downtrodden, sees you with sorrow in your life, sees you with grief with Naomi as she buried her husband and buried her sons in a foreign country and left them there. And God's thoughts to her as He cared about her in the time of this suffering. She came home bitter. Trials can do that in your life, and suffering can do that. Because this is what we say. We say, that's not how I thought it would be. That's not how I thought the ministry would be. That's not how I thought life would turn out. It doesn't go the way that you plan, because you're not the one planning it. The Lord is planning it. I wonder how God does His work in this world with the likes of you and me. With broken vessels, He's doing His work in the church, and fulfilling His plan. Though we disappoint and though we sin and fail and fall down, with broken vessels, God does an eternal work, because it is Him building His kingdom, not us. God had a plan with Ruth, and Naomi would benefit from that. And they are here in the Bible, but she suffered so. What can you do with bitterness? You can bring it to God. As Moses was at the bitter water with the people of Israel, and there's nothing but bitterness. The water could not be drank, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when He cut down and cast in, the bitter waters were made sweet. There's a tree called the tree on Mount Calvary, where Jesus died for our sins. And that tree is the only thing that can make a bitter heart sweet again. And, always in our world, education is the answer to every ill in this world, according to the world. But that's not the answer. The cross is the answer. Only the power of the Lord changing your life. Only the Lord can put love in where there used to be hate. Education cannot put love in where there used to be hate. Education cannot bring a changed life, but Christ changes our lives when He saves our souls. And without the gospel, there's no hope for this world whatsoever. It is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing else that can change a life. And Naomi came back, but as she saw what the Lord did for her when she came back home, Boaz was there, and he was a mighty man in wealth, but he was also a mighty man in his walk with God, a godly man. And God arranged it. The Bible says of Ruth that her hap, or as it happened to her, as though it was, you know, just the way it turned out, but it was God's plan. It was God thinking of her. God had her go on the first day that she went out to gather behind those who were threshing the wheat in the field. She went out, and as it turned out, God was thinking and had her go to the field of Boaz. Then Boaz talks to her and says, don't go to anybody else's field. Stay by my reapers until the end of harvest. And then he talks to the reapers and said, let's fall some handfuls on purpose. On purpose, let some things fall for her so that she can find them and so she can get something. And God arranged for him to care for her. And of course, later on, he's the kinsman redeemer, the picture of our Savior who redeemed us from our sins. But Naomi is cared for by Boaz in her later life. She's able to see that little child, Obed being born, who is the father of Jesse, the father of King David. Because she went to Moab and brought Ruth back, Ruth came into the line of Christ. And God had a plan, but it was a bitter plan for her and a difficult plan. God has a plan for our life. And there are those difficult times, there are those sweet times and wonderful times. And those times come out of a heart of submission and our submission to the Lord, our submission to His way and His plan, coupled with our striving to please Him and to walk with Him. May God bless you this morning to know that God has been thinking about you all your life long. God has been thinking. So many thoughts of God, so much kindness, so much mercy, so much caring about us. Even when we didn't care, the Lord was caring about you and I. The abundance of thoughts of God toward us are so many, they cannot be laid out in order, nor can they be numbered up and counted. There's so much that the Lord cares about you. Do not make the mistake of accusing Him of not caring. Just because you can't understand, know this. The Bible makes it so clear how much He loves you and cares for you and helps you and makes plans to support you in this life and encourage you on your way to heaven. Thank you, Father, for the Scripture and the study of Your Word. May it be a blessing to our hearts and lives. And may You give strength where there was weakness, and may You give peace and joy where there was bitterness. And may You give encouragement and lift up the hands that hang down and strengthen the feeble knees. And bless the hearts of everyone here this morning with Your word, we pray, and with the recognition of the multitude of Your thoughts toward us. How good and how careful and how loving You have been. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.